Not by us, not by our power, our might, but by Christ in us. Everything is about Jesus. Everything. You guys may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for filling in this morning. We are Team Jesus, and we are here with a clear understanding of who we are, who Christ has made us, what we now represent in this world. Before Christ, we lived for ourselves, what we wanted to do, chased the dreams we wanted. But when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you understand that everything in this world is basically vanity. And nothing's going to last. And we'll find out later in this chapter what's going to happen to this world. What we realize as believers is that it's so much more important. There's something so much bigger than ourselves. That there has been a war raging for thousands of years. Between good and evil. And then in this war, souls are on the line. This isn't fairy tale. This isn't myth. This isn't religious stuff. This is reality. You see, the world has taught us and almost programmed the church to see our faith and the reality of everyday life is two different things. Today we're going to see that play out in Scripture. You see, they've got us believing that there's a real world that we live in, and then this kind of religious world, this hope, this fantasy sometimes. And it's completely disconnected from the physical world. And see, that belief system, God is kind of disconnected. Even if he didn't exist, he's disconnected. And we live in the real world, and you need to get your head out of the clouds. The truth is so far from that. Today we're going to be in 2 Peter, and guess what? We're going to move to verse 4. Oof. We've been in verses 1 through 3 for 10 or 11 weeks. We're going to get to verse 4 today. The sermon entitled, The Deadly Trap of Apathy. So let us begin. Verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, our Lord and Savior. Knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The scoffers here are bringing this line of reasoning. Don't need to worry about God. Don't need to worry about judgment. End of the world? Come on. Things just are as they always have been. All things continue as they were from the beginning. This line of thinking is very dangerous. It creates doubt in the Word of God. It creates an environment to believe in lies. It also creates apathy inside the believer. See, basically what they're saying here is there's no judgment. He's not returning. If he even exists, come on. You live in the real world. God's not concerned with human affairs, if he even exists. all things continue as they were from the beginning. This comes straight from the mind of Satan himself. This line of reasoning that we see Peter address right here has affected the world like you would not believe. It's affected you. It's affecting our children today. This line of reasoning, this belief, this concept that's contained in this verse 4 changed the world completely. Has made millions into atheists where they no longer believe in God. This concept here. I'm going to show you this concept outside of Scripture, and then we'll return to Scripture and see what it does, what this concept here has done to the world, the physical world we live in, and to the church. Now, what I'm talking about is called uniformitarianism. Uniformitarianism. This concept has been around a long time. Peter has just written about it. But it was finally given this name in the late 1700s, uniformitarianism, by a man named James Hutton. Now here's where we're going to go away from the Bible for a little bit, but you'll see how directly it's connected to the Bible and to the church. James Hutton is called the father of geology. If you've been through my apologetics course, these are going to look very familiar to you. But in my apologetics course, I didn't connect it to Peter. So here's where you'll see the connection today. He doubted in God. He wasn't a hardcore, full-fledged atheist, but he doubted. He didn't like what the Bible said, and he even doubted the Bible is really the Word of God. He said, if the succession of worlds is established in the system of nature, it is vain to look for anything higher than nature, basically. He's saying, you know, everything that's in the natural world is just happening as it's always happened. Basically, nature created nature. That's what they believed back then. And they started believing that maybe the universe was eternal. It's always existed. It's always been here. And if that's true, we don't need to look to anything higher like God as creator. It is vain to look for anything higher in the origin of the earth. God didn't create the earth. The result, therefore, of our present inquiry is that we find no vestige of a beginning. Things happen like they've always happened. We don't have to believe in an eternal God who brought time, space, matter into existence in a moment when he said, let there be, as in the beginning. No. We can just look at nature and go, it's always been like this. That frees us from all those rules God gave us. Boy, that our sinful nature was like, yes. As men started to think this way, he wrote this. Hutton's key concepts was the theory of uniformitarianism. This was the belief that geological forces at work in the present day, barely noticeable to the human eye, yet immense in their impact, are the same as those that operate in the past. It became evident from such analysis that enormous lengths of time were required to account for the thickness of exposed rock layers. Uniformitarianism is one of the fundamental principles of the earth sciences, geology, the geological time, the geological scale, the rock layers, all this sort of stuff. They look out into the nature. They see the Grand Canyon cut, you know, deep that canyon. They look at all the layers and go, all those layers, they take millions of years to form. And we see the processes of erosion, water and wind and the breaking down of elements and then, you know, the volcanoes. We just see this natural process. This is the way it's always been. Basically, life continues as it always has. no God, no miracles, no revelation of God, no divine plan, just the natural world, and it continues as it always has. Nothing new. Unfortunately, Hutton was not a very good writer in his day. While his paper of 1785 suggested an entirely new theory of geomorphology, how the continents are formed, because this kind of was the God said, let there be. But now they're coming up with a different way for the land, for the creation. It was the 19th century scholar Sir Charles Lyell, whose Principles of Geology, published in 1830, popularized the concept of uniformitarianism. Now, Charles Lyell, go to the next slide, Levi. There he is. Very distinguished English gentleman. A lawyer by trade. So we know not a good guy. That was a joke. But he turned into a self-proclaimed scientist and geologist. One thing about Charles Lyell you must know. He hated God. He hated the Bible. And he sought a way to get rid of God out of society, to be the enlightened age, to rise above superstition of God or gods, a belief in a higher power. In his book, Charles Lyell wrote things like this: false conclusions, futile reasoning, ancient doctrines sanctioned by the implicit faith of many generations and supposed to rest on scriptural authority. See, the way he wrote was not a full frontal attack on the Bible or the church, but he started to cast doubt. Was this really authoritative? Is this really true? The only thing that makes it true is that people believe in it. Now, if you don't believe in this, does it make it untrue? No. Whether you believe in it or not has no effect on whether it's true or not. But he's saying that, well, people, it's an authority only because people believe it. Second thing he said was men of superior talent who thought for themselves. How many times have you heard people who've turned to atheism say that line? I started to think for myself. Like the church has been brainwashed, and in a certain aspect I agree with that. Religion, Christian religion did brainwash a lot of people. Has, and still is in many cases. But the true faith is to educate. It's to equip. A lot of people said, you know, I started thinking for myself. When they start thinking for themselves, they get away from the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Men of superior talent who fought for themselves were not blinded by authority. And this is our authority, folks. The Word of God is our authority. We obey this as individuals and as a church. But when you start thinking for yourself and you still want to reject God, this is no longer your authority. You're going to do what you want. Charles Lyell also wrote this. He said his goal was to free the science from Moses. What does he mean by that? Well, again, up until this point, people believed, go figure, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They believed in Genesis chapter 1 of a six-day, 24-hour period creation. But today, the church is torn on this. Maybe even some of you are torn on that. That just doesn't sound right. Science has proven otherwise. You see, this philosophy of Charles Lyell, that all things happen as they have since the beginning, it's just the natural realm. It's the scientific community's main reasoning and standard. But you see, it was designed to undermine the Bible, to make people not believe in God anymore, not to trust the very first chapter of the book. If you can't trust the first chapter, why would you trust the second, the third, and on? See, Moses here wrote the first five books of the Bible. And it says God is the creator. And you see, Charles Lyell set out to free science from Moses. Now we have science, and we have a Big Bang theory, where nothing was there, because now uniformitarianism says things have always existed, but science eventually found out the universe did have a beginning. So the Bible was correct there, but they throw that out. But now they have the Big Bang theory, where nothing was there and nothing exploded for no reason and formed this perfect, mathematically precise, law-governed universe. And the complicated life. But he's been able to free the science from Moses. How did he do this? Well, with his book. And with Hutton's theory on uniformitarianism. Next slide, Levi. Using evidence from the rock record and fossil record, scientists have developed the geological timescale. The geological timescale is an outline of major events in Earth's history. Basically, all those layers took millions of years to form. So we can look down through the layers and see all the history, the millions and millions of years of history of the Earth. This earth crust is kind of a recycled process, new layers beginning to form over millions of years, all through natural processes. And see, this geological timescale is what they say the crust of the earth is. It's all these layers all around the world. It's been that way because each layer is formed in millions of years. So we can just trace back history. Is that true? Next slide, Levi. What the real facts are, 77% of the Earth's surface on land and under the sea has seven or more, that's about 70% of the strata systems missing. The layers aren't there. The layers are not uniformed. If uniformitarianism is true, then it's always happened like this on the planet, so the planet should be uniformed in the layers. But they're not. There's layers missing. It's kind of chaotic, the layers. 94% of the Earth's surface has three or more systems missing, and an estimated 99.6 has at least one missing system. You see, the rock layers are not formed by time over not formed by natural processes over time, put it that way. Not by uniformitarianism. The layers are formed in a chaotic worldwide flood that covered the earth. And a flood is chaotic, it's not uniformed. And so you'll have different rock layers and things missing because it's a flood. In our apologetics conference, we go into all the scientific evidence that we have to prove a worldwide flood. But I want you to understand that this uniformitarianism, this belief system, is allowing someone, Charles Lyell, to create something and promote something that is completely not true. So people can believe in the lie and not believe the truth. So Charles Lyell, in his book in 1830, created this geological time scale. Most people couldn't check it. Most people still can't check the facts of it today. You can't go around the world and see, hey, there's rock layers missing. But up until, the 1980s, you could still find some truth out there in school. I'm not sure how much truth you can still find in the school system. But here, next slide, Levi, was a textbook, a seventh grade textbook, HBJ Earth Science book from 1989. Page 326, it says this: if there were a column of sediments, the geological timescale, deposited continually since the formation of the Earth, the entire history of the planet could be reconstructed. Unfortunately, they were honest here. No such column exists. Where sediments are missing, layers, a break in the sedimentary record occurs, like I just showed you. Break results in gaps in the record may range from a few years to hundreds of millions of years. Pretty big span, is it not, to be wrong? If I was doing, I was your accountant, I was doing your money, and I said, well, I might be off by a few bucks or $100 million. Would that concern you? Why doesn't it concern, if I was a doctor and I said, well, I've diagnosed you and I'm pretty sure, but I might be way, way off. Would that concern you? Then why are we not concerned with this? Geologists are telling us, don't believe the Bible, believe this. But what they say could have mistakes millions and millions of years wide. But they're scientists. They're smarter than us, right? So we just believe them. Next slide, Levi. 80 to 85% of the Earth's land surface does not have three geological periods pairing in correct consecutive order. It becomes an overall exercise of gargantuan special pleading and imagination for the evolutionary uniformitarian paradigm to maintain that there were ever geological periods. The Jurassic period. Jurassic Park. What? No, because see, everything was created in 6 days. Next slide, Levi. The entire geological column, composed of complete strata systems, exists only in the diagrams drawn by geologists. Next one. There is one place in all the world to see the standard geological column, that's in the textbooks. That's what you're taught in school and in college. Next one. Lyell also sold geology some snake oil. He convinced geologists that all past processes act essentially that they do today at the same rates. This extreme gradualism has led to numerous unfortunate consequences, including the rejection of sudden and catastrophic events in the face of positive evidence for them, i.e. the flood of Noah. So why is it important to know the link from James Hutton, who came up with the concept uniformitarianism, where he questioned God's word, to Lyell openly despising the word of God and wanting to free science from the truth of the word of God? There's a few reasons. Charles Lyell's presupposition, his worldview, how he understood the world to be, the truth of it, was to first hate the word of God and then seek out another explanation. Something else that would prove why the earth's history and how we got here. Meaning he was not converted by the evidence that is out there. But his heart was already corrupted against the God of the Bible. You don't want to trust a scientist who is not driven by the evidence, by the data, but their own worldview, their own wanting to prove something. Charles Lyell created the geological column from pure hypothetical imagination. Next slide, Levi. This is what you see in textbooks. It's not what you see in the real world. Are there layers? No doubt. But if you take a jar, and you put rock in it, dirt in it, sand in it, you just put all sorts of junk in there, and you tighten it up, and you shake it up, a violent worldwide flood sort of shake up, and then you put it down, what happens? It layers out. What's interesting, in 1830 is when he published this book. You notice in his diagram, maybe it's kind of hard to see, but on the side it says millions of years. And he gives starting from zero down to 650 million years ago. The Jurassic, the Triassic, all the different ages. And he gives each rock layer a number. The Jurassic period is 150 million years to 200 million years ago. Now, in 1830, was there any way to date that rock? Was there any scientific way of dating that rock? No. None. Zero. Geology was just starting as a science. There was no way to test the age of that rock. But uniformitarianism said, well, we see water erosion and wind erosion. We see how long it takes to do rock. And so now we got these layers and they're this thick. And we're so smart, we'll calculate. I look at that rock layer through my scientific mind. He says, I'm going to give it the age. 200 million years. Snagged it right out of the blue sky. You see, up until this point, the majority of science didn't believe millions of years. It came from Charles Lyell in 1830, where he wrote this geological column, and he assigned the years to it based on his hatred for the truth of God's Word. To free science from Moses. He created millions of years. But you see, the problem here is that Christians bought into it. These guys are scientists! They panicked! The Bible says the earth is not millions of years old, and it was formed in 6 days, and scientists are mocking us. We're like stupid for believing this. So they panicked. And they compromised the integrity of the Word of God. All based on this. Today we have dating techniques. But do you know that the formulas to come up with those dating techniques still relies on the measurement, the numbers from the geological time scale? So they're flawed. Charles Lyell's book was able to influence a young preacher fresh out of college named Charles Darwin. Yes, Darwin was not a scientist. He had a theological degree, but he wasn't very good. And he really didn't believe what he was educated in. So, Darwin couldn't find a job as a pastor. So he became a naturalist. And he found work, headed off to some island chain, a long ways away, to study nature. With these new insights of Hutton and Lyell, nature's always been like this. And he got aboard the ship to take this sail over to the around South America, the Galapagos Islands. And on the journey, he writes that he had two books. He had the Bible. Of course, he's a theologian. And he had Charles Lyell's Principles of Geology, published in 1830. And as he read Charles Lyell's book, he wrote in his private memoirs and stuff that he said, "My faith in the Bible slowly eroded." By the time he was done with that journey, he no longer believed in the Word of God, and he believed in these natural processes that brought about what we see today. And the millions of years given to him by Charles Lyell's make-believe geological timescale gave him the time needed to create the biggest lie that humanity's ever swallowed. The origin of species, evolution. The driving force why most people don't believe in God today. Because if you really understand evolution, if you really understand what it teaches, and most don't, they have a superficial understanding of it, the very foundation of evolution is there is no God. No God. They don't like to let that out when it first started because people have been offended and upset. But he wrote his book in the 1850s, The Origin of Species, based on the millions of years given to him by Charles Lyell's book in 1830, which was based on James Hutton's theory in the late 1700s of uniformitarianism, which says, don't believe God created in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. There is no God. Next slide. Charles Lyell became a hero to Darwin. He worshipped Lyell. I'm going to show you a video. This is from a documentary film. This is Darwin's house over in England. That's now a museum, and they're scanning his office so you can see where the great scientist wrote Origin of Species. Take a picture of Charles Lyell. See that picture of him. Play the video. See his fireplace? That center picture? Who does that look like? Click, Levi. That's Charles Lyell up there. You think you'd have a portrait of his wife up there instead. He's got a portrait of Lyell. See, it's all connected. Now here's how it's affected the church. The church bought into this uniformitarianism, which eventually led to evolutionary concepts, and we started just not believing the Bible because science says otherwise. And the church was weakened. I got another clip here. I really want you to listen to this guy. It's about 4 minutes long. Play it.
A primary figure in the war to undermine God's word was an anti-Christian lawyer turned geologist by the name of Charles Lyell. Lyell's background in law allowed him to argue persuasively, and the infancy of the field of geology as a serious study, combined with the lack of resources for most people to travel widely and observe the evidence firsthand, made him a seeming authority on the subject. He knew the Victorians of the day would not embrace direct attacks on the church, so he used seemingly inoffensive and scientific arguments from geology to discredit the history in the Bible, all very much on purpose. We know this because of his own writings to his colleagues of the day, where he admitted, "I conceived the idea 5 or 6 years ago that if ever the Mosaic geology could be set down without giving offense, it would be in an historical sketch, and you must abstract mine in order to have as little to say as possible yourself. Let them feel it and point the moral. Although written in a style that seems somewhat foreign to modern ears, what he was clearly saying is that if what Moses wrote about the flood could be replaced with an alternate history regarding the age of the rocks, it would undercut the entire Bible eventually by undercutting the teaching of the Rock of Ages. Knowing there might be some resistance from the church, he focused on seemingly scientific and intellectual arguments rather than overtly theological ones, even though he knew full well there would be a direct impact should his notions be popularized. He also sought allies from the more liberal wing of the clergy who were more likely to compromise to help accomplish his goal. If we don't irritate, which I fear that we may, though mere history, we shall carry all with us. If you don't triumph over them, but compliment the liberality and candor of the present age, the bishop and enlightened saints will join us in despising both the ancient and modern physico-theologians. It is just the time to strike, so rejoice that, sinner as you are, the Quarterly Review, a publication he was hoping to publish in, is open to you. Again, the language requires closer attention to understand. But what he was getting at is that the strategy should not be to insult the church writings or to lord it over them. Just work with those inside the church, open to these concepts, and in that way, overcome the more staunch Bible defenders that might detect and perceive the logical outworking of removing Genesis as real history before it was well established through academia. Lyle succeeded in popularizing the concept of uniformitarianism. The present is the key to the past. Overthrowing the logical conclusions regarding geology drawn from Moses' writings involving Noah's flood and the recent six-day creation. Lyell was very successful in paving the way for Darwinian evolution by establishing its much-needed time frame. The Western world has been changing ever since, and while many Christians fail to understand the root cause, prominent Bible skeptics like F. Sherwood Taylor do. Asked what he felt changed England from a Christian into a pagan nation, he had a ready answer. I myself have little doubt that in England it was uniformitarian long ages, geology and the theory of evolution that changed us from a Christian to a pagan nation. What's even more disheartening is understanding that Lyell's ideas of uniformitarian geology are widely criticized by many modern evolutionary geologists like Warren D. Almond, the director of the Paleontological Research Institution in Ithaca, New York, and adjunct associate professor of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at Cornell University, who said, Lyell also sold geology some snake oil. He convinced geologists that all past processes acted at their current rates, that is, those observed in historic time. Calling the concept of uniformitarianism snake oil by such a prestigious researcher isn't exactly flattering. And yet these were the very same faulty ideas that Christians allowed into the church and widely accepted, promoted, and taught to their own children. They, of course, became more consistent over subsequent generations to believe less and less in biblical authority until we are where we are today. Clearly, the compromising of God's words with man's fallible ideas is extremely damaging to the cause of Christ. The watchmen of the day were unlike the Bereans that Paul commended for their love and adherence to the authority of God's word.
So you see, because our kids are taught in school today, they're taught evolution not as a theory, but as fact. They're taught that the earth is millions of years without even any other argument there. They're taught that, you know, we can't believe in what the Bible says. It's, you either got to take it as it's some sort of symbolism, poetry, not historical narrative. But it is. This is the most precise historical book on the face of the planet. But see, we doubt it. Because science says. You know, I'm not anti-science. I love science. Because science is based on the laws that God gave the universe. Oh, I love science, good science. I don't like fake science. It's like fake news. England is down to 1% Bible-believing Christians. 1%. We're not much better off. America is down to 17% Bible-believing Christians. With only 10% of that 17% actually reading and studying the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father is still asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Uniformitarianism. It's been around for a long time. Well before James Hutton in 1785. Peter is writing about it here. Because Satan has been around since the beginning, trying to deceive humanity, turn humanity away from the truth. Here, what Peter is describing are scoffers in the church saying, basically, you don't have to believe all that end time stuff. We got a lot of people today that don't believe the book of Revelation is future. They don't believe the prophecies are literal. 1,000-year reign of Christ, it doesn't really exist. It's figurative. It's symbolic. Christ is reigning now. He's reigning in us. He's not going to reign literally from Jerusalem. This is the real world. Things continue as they were from the beginning. Basically, where this takes a person is there is no God, there is no miracles, there is no revelation of God, no divine plan, just the natural world. Nothing changes. And inside the church, it's had this devastating, uniformitarianism has had this devastating lie put on humanity where now they mock the Bible, they mock the truth of it, and they believe in science. All science, a lot of the science is based on somebody's lie a couple hundred years ago. But it's come in and it affects this church too. All things continue as they were. See, a lot of people calling themselves Christians do not really believe the Bible anymore. The rapture. The return of Jesus Christ. There's no worries. There's no concern. Apathy sets in. You see how this concept is the same concept. One, it brought the biggest lie on humanity. Because when you start doubting the truth that's out there, then you're set up to be a lie. You can believe the lie. And that's what evolution is. And inside the church, it's created doubt. It's created apathy. Oh, Jesus, I know. People have been saying Jesus is going to return for 2,000 years. He's still not here. Everything's going on just the way it is. I don't need to be concerned. I don't need to be warning people. I don't need to be inviting people to church. I don't need to be sharing the gospel. I'm busy. I got a life. Both these results and that big scientific word, uniformitarianism, is right from the mind of Satan. And it's done its job. Most of the world now believes in evolutionary fact, not theory. Which gives them, they don't have to believe in God. There's natural processes that created us. We're not accountable to anybody. We'll do whatever we want. And inside the church, I don't really have to obey that. Science has already proven parts of it wrong. Or so they believe. I don't really need to obey that. The end of the world? Come on. Judgment Day? I don't need to warn anybody. I got a life to live. a dangerous trap. Steals the life right out of the church. Steals the self. The excitement. The passion. The conviction. Satan wants you like this. The world wants you like that. Apathetic. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. We don't need to worry about it. Apathy has already set in. Satan wants this. But our Savior told us to be salt and light. To be zealous for every good work. To be passionate, on fire. To be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't quit. We don't surrender. We don't retreat. The world wants to bring us a fight. We make our stand in the name of Jesus Christ. The world wants to believe in a lie. We stand for the truth. Oh, the world wants to hate us. Our Lord said they'll hate us. Praise God. Folks, we can't afford for this kind of thinking. We can't afford it. Our lost loved ones, just the lost in general, can't afford for Christians to think like this. No big deal. Tomorrow's going to be like yesterday, and the day after that, and the day after that. Now here's what we need to do, folks. Here's the mindset. 1 Timothy 6:12, and I'm almost done. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses who have gone before us. Fight the good fight of faith. This is the Edge Youth Group verse. Extreme disciples going eternal. The Edge. Extreme disciples going eternal. Lay hold of eternal life. Live now for what's eternal. Live now for eternity. What's going to matter? What's going to last for all eternity? Just souls. Just people. Your bank account, your job, your career, your education, your family. It's not going to last forever. We're going to see here soon in this chapter what's going to happen to all that stuff. The only thing that's going to last are the souls of people that we bring to Jesus Christ. Let's think with eternal mindset. We're to be disciples. And we're to live with an eternal mindset each day. It changes how we live today if we think that way. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. We believe it. He's going to return. There's going to be a judgment. I want to warn people. Finally, Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Because you know, today is maybe like yesterday, and maybe it's going to be like tomorrow, where Christ hasn't appeared to us. But there's a day coming, folks, when He's going to appear in the clouds. He's going to call us home. It's going to be a day unlike any other day. It's coming. But see, if you have this mindset where you're looking forward to the appearing and you're desiring it because you're thinking eternally and you're believing the Word of God, it'll change how you live. It'll focus your life to what really matters. But if you have uniformitarianism inside of you, things always continue as they have been. Jesus didn't come back for my grandparents, my grandparents, my parents. Oh, you know, he's not going to come back anytime soon. Things just continue as they always have. If that's your mindset, you might be rudely awakened one day with the reality, which is the truth of God. Jesus Christ being that truth. Do not let this be said of you. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to what is eternal. Be like Paul. Let's pray. Team, come on up. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, it is amazing to see how Satan works. Out in the world, even outside of church, he uses the same tactics. He's always here to destroy the truth. He always wants the world to live blindly, not focused on you, denying you, denying your grace and your goodness because he can't have it. And if he can't have it, and he doesn't even want it, but if he can't have it, nobody will. He knows he's judged. The Bible already said it. He's judged, past tense. His judgment's coming. There's a day fixed. And he's so full of hate and evil, he wants to take millions upon millions of people in his prideful rebellion with him. And he has been at work deceiving the minds and the hearts of millions. But Lord, we stand here as a church, those who have been brought out of deception, those who have been brought out of darkness, to be salt and light, to spread the truth, to convince people of the truth so they can be saved. They will not be a victim of the deception of the evil one. This is reality. It's not the physical realm. It's not just the scientific world. Lord, there is the physical and there is the spiritual and they are interconnected. That is the reality. We live in a spiritual war that has physical ramifications and effects to it. Lord, I ask you to help us as a church to understand that. And to become bold in what we believe and why we believe it. To share with people before it's too late. Before apathy destroys everything. Lord, I ask you to help us to have the right mindset as Christians. To be good soldiers. To soldier on. To make our stand in the evil day. And do everything we can to stand for you and for your church. For your glory. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. All God's people said, Amen. All right, I've gone too far. 12, we're 10 over, so I'm going to go ahead and call it here. We'll sing the last song. But thank you, team, for coming back up and being ready. We'll go ahead and call it quits here. So we're Team Jesus. Go ahead and skip to Team Jesus. All right. Folks, we got a week ahead of us in the real world, but Jesus is real. God is real. His truth is real. Live it. Take it out there. Share it. Jesus is sending us out there. He chose us to be His church. Why He chose some of us, I'll never know. I wouldn't have chosen myself. But He did. He chose us by His grace. Let's go out there and be His team. Satan and his team are working. They're getting the job done. But we can be a small, specialized, solid team that goes out there and creates a lot of havoc for the other enemy. We can get the job done. So So let's get it done on the count of three. We'll break out of here. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.